In the third chapter of 2 Peter, where we have been studying, you'll notice that Peter continues his discussion of the coming of the day of the Lord by saying, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." I hope that you understand that the day of the Lord and the appearing of Jesus Christ and the rapture of God's people from this earth, the millennial reign, which is 1,000 years of peace, prosperity, and plenty under the kingship of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of the kingdom promises, the battles that are predicted in the book of Revelation, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only to set up his kingdom and to rule this earth, but also to judge it at the end of the 1,000 years, the judgment of all mankind, both small and great, the subsequent destruction. Peter speaks of it as the dissolving of this earth, that all of these are considered to be events of the last days, or the last day, singular. So the day of the Lord is literally the day in which God performs his will against ungodly men, against this world system, when God rises up and says, "This is enough, judgment now has begun," that is the last day. Amen. And Peter said, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." And I believe that Peter means by this that the event are events that occur at the coming of the Son of God, that there will be prophecies that we can see, that we can interpret from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and from current events, and see that the season in which Jesus will come again is now, and yet we do not know the day and we do not know the hour. And yet we're able to say this is the season of his coming, that this event that begins the day of the Lord is really that which will occur as a thief comes into a home at night, stealthily, unknown, and yet when he's in the home, or that he has been in the home, will soon be fact, and a fact that will be very well known. The day of the Lord will begin as a thief in the night without a lot of people knowing about it, without a lot of people acknowledging that it has begun. It will affect the world in the same way that a thief affects a household. As we consider this statement as a thief in the night, we need to understand, and I want to emphasize, that God is not slow, that he will perform his will as he wills. And men cannot force God to action, and men cannot delay God from action. And just because God is not in action does not mean that God is inactive. The Lord has not delayed his coming in the sense of replanning and reprogramming, changing his mind, forgetting about the appointed time. But men have been scoffing, and men are scoffing, and literally that word means to mock, as children mock one another when they play, and say, where is the promise of his coming? I think people did this in the days of the early church. I think they have been doing it in the centuries past, and I know that people are doing it now. But the day of the Lord will come. There are many positive statements, even in this book of 2 Peter, that emphasize the certainty of the coming of the Son of God. In verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Shall, will. None of these expressing any doubt or uncertainty, but the opposite. Stressing, according to the very structure of the words themselves, that the day of the Lord shall come. The day of the Lord will come. The only reason that I can think of at this present time, right now, and as I've studied, for the Lord not coming back now is stated in the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter when he states that God is long-suffering to usward. And just as God waited in the days of Noah, God waits now in this age. God has done everything he can, and I say this as reverently as I can, God has done all he can to save men from their sins. God can't do any more than he has done. If there's any lack of effort in the world hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is ours, not God's. God has done all he can to save every soul that's ever been born in this world. And if there is someone who is not saved, who would like to be saved, it is because we didn't tell them about Jesus Christ. When Paul said, I am debtor, he didn't mean he was debtor to God. He meant he was debtor to the Greek and the barbarian. And that's who you and I are indebted to. The Lord is waiting. The Lord is long-suffering. His will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's will. And if I understand the words all and none, I think it means that it is God's will that no human being die in their sins and go to hell. That's what God would will and does will. But the only ones who can determine their destiny is the man who has the will to say yes or no to the offerings of God. God hasn't changed his mind. He hadn't gone soft. He hadn't become a theological liberal and abolish the fact of hell or the fact of death. All that stands very firm. The day of the Lord will come, and Peter tells us how it shall come. As a thief in the night. This is what Peter said. Now let's look at what Paul wrote in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul supposes that they very well remember that he has taught them plainly about the signs and the time, the signs of the time and the seasons in which the Lord will come. He said, now I don't have any need to write to you concerning the seasons, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Let's look now at Matthew chapter 24 and to the words of Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, they really asked the question, tell us, when shall these things be? Now notice. And what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Specific question. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? These two things are connected. Jesus begins to speak, and he answers this question. And there are many signs given. Too many for us to even began to look at tonight. But there is the sign of the false prophets, the sign of wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. And he states in verse 8 that all of these are just the beginning of sorrows. Then there's the persecution of his people. People hating one another, false prophets deceiving many, iniquity abounding, love being cold. The gospel shall be preached unto the king, of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world. The desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. Many others. The great tribulation. People saying, there is Christ, or there is Christ. There shall be many false Christs. Now, if we try to put all of these in chronological order and say that any one of them is the sign of the coming of Jesus Christ, I think we misinterpret the Word of God. In verse 32 of this chapter, Jesus said, now learn a parable of the fig tree. Now, Jesus isn't saying that Israel is like a fig tree. Not in this verse. He is not saying Israel is a fig tree. And when you see Israel regathered, then you know that this is a fig tree that is blooming. I don't know exactly where that comes from, but it certainly doesn't come from this. And I've checked it out very, very closely. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. Jesus said, look at the fig tree and you will learn a truth. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. I understand that the fig tree is the last thing to put out leaves before summer. Now notice, when you see the fig tree putting forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, now notice, when ye shall see all these things, not one of them, not just one of them, but when you see all these things, know that it, and that should be translated he, know that he is near, even at the doors. So what is the sign of the coming of the Son of God and all of the predictions concerning the return of Jesus? When do we know that this is nigh? Jesus said, when you see all these things. Think about that for a minute. Jesus said himself that his coming would be as lightning. Verse 27 of Matthew chapter 24. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man. It just simply means that Jesus will come as lightning flashes suddenly. Jesus said that heaven and earth shall pass away. Look at how the teachings of Jesus and the writings of Peter fit so intricately. Peter is saying that the earth will melt with fervent heat, and that all the things in the earth and on the earth will be dissolved. We'll be talking about that this coming Sunday morning. They will be dissolved. And Jesus doesn't say if the earth passes away. He says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Now, when is the day of the Lord coming? Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But Paul has just said of the seasons and of the times. I don't even need to write you about the season of the coming of Jesus Christ, because all of you know perfectly well about the season. And yet Jesus says, no man knows, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And I think I've read the Bible carefully, and I don't think that there is any further revelations in this book concerning the day and the hour of the return of the Son of God. And if you don't get it out of the rest of this book, you don't need it. If you've gotten it because you have had a dream, forget it. Or if you've read something in another book, such as the Book of Mormon, just throw it away. Or best of all, put your intellectual finger in your intellectual throat and get rid of that garbage. You don't need it at all. If you got it out of any book save the Word of God, it's just going to be in your system and be poison in your system, so get rid of it. You don't need it. So the predictions of men concerning the day and the hour are simply arrogance personified, ignorance personified, spiritual ignorance wearing the name of a human. No man, not even the angels of heaven, know the day or the hour. But Paul says, what about the seasons? You know the seasons. I'm not predicting that it'll snow tonight. Any of you dumb enough to believe it if I said it would? I would ask you to hold up your hand, but somebody might do it. And no, you wouldn't. There's a hand right there. I'm just getting to think about it. This is just not the season for snow. Too many indications that it is not the season for snow. Now, if I was going to predict when the first snowfall would come, I'd pick from about the 10th of January to the 10th of February. Well, it might snow the 1st of December. It might snow the 1st of March. But, you know, to predict it, when is it going to snow for the first time? Well, from my experience and what I understand the seasons and past history and all these things, I'd just say about the last of January and 1st of February. But that's about as close as I could get. And it's about as close as you could get. About as close as anybody can get. I don't know the day and the hour when Jesus is going to come again, but I can understand the seasons, the predictions, and the obvious fulfillment of these predictions. But Jesus still writes in verse 40, or Jesus still speaks, and Matthew writes in the same chapter in verses 43 and 44, and this is what Jesus said himself: "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. As it was in the days of Noah," Jesus said, "before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left." When the people know that a thief has been in the house, when they wake up and things are gone, when will the world know that Jesus has come back? When they wake up and some things are gone. I believe that. I believe that one of these days the world will wake up to many people being gone. Just as the people in the days of Noah did not change their lifestyle at the preaching of Noah. They didn't repent. They did not miss a day's work. They didn't observe a Sabbath that they had not been not observing. They didn't change one bit. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. The world is not going to change, but it is going to be surprised. And then Jesus tells a parable in chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, this is not a parable of the 5 virgins and the 5 prostitutes. So it's not talking about lost people and saved people. But the main emphasis of the parable of the 10 virgins is this. Now, I don't know many of the things that the parable of the 10 virgins teaches. But I know what Jesus wanted us to learn from the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's this: watch Therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I know that's the main truth that Jesus wants us to learn, because that's what he said. Be ye ready, Jesus said. When? Well, the coming of the Son of God is nearer now than it was yesterday. It's nearer now than it was when Peter wrote to these people. And I don't know the day, and I don't know the hour. And you ought to respect me for telling you that I don't know. Instead of trying to prove to you that I have some sort of special insight and have some knowledge that even the angels of God don't possess. But I can tell you quite frankly that according to the Word of God, we ought to be busy. We ought to be working, because he speaks the parable then of the talents. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. He speaks the parable of how we ought to be faithful with what God has entrusted unto us. Why is that? Because the Lord is coming again to judge you and me according to the way we've served him. And it'll not be a laughing matter. It'll be very, very serious. Believe the Bible. Let the Bible say what it wants to say about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, as far as I can understand, is a time when God works his will. And I don't know that hour, and I don't know that event. I just know we ought to be ready. We ought to be working. That's the primary truth the Lord wants us to learn. You say, "Oh, Brother Penn, I expected something a lot different, something with a whole lot more meat on it." Well, that's just about as meaty as I can get. But that's what's important.